As I come to the close of this series of messages on Elijah, it's been a tremendously rewarding time of challenge for myself, of reflection, of grace, repentance, growth, all of the reasons why I love God and why I love to study His Word. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. And as your pastor, I can only hope that God has given me the grace to be able to, over these past several weeks, and to stir your heart. And my hope is that, like Elijah, you would be Christ in the moments that God gives to you. You know, on Living Faith Television, on the weekends, we're preaching on our personal need and our national need for revival. And then on Sunday nights, we've been speaking from God's Word here about a real life hero, Elijah. And thus, I've been reminded of a song that we don't sing often enough, since the words of the song depict what I believe should be every child of God's heart. Should be our desire. The words of that song are this: "Stir in me a fire that the world cannot explain. I long to worship you, O Lord." As we close out this series on Elijah, this mountain of human godliness who refused to compromise in the face of evil and never allowed the devil a foothold into his life. How many of you would love for God to be able to say that about each one of us? That while they were on the earth, that they never allowed the devil a foothold. They never once compromised. Oh, may it be so of us. We may not be able to do anything about our past, but every day life comes at us, doesn't it? The future is before us. How do we want to live? And I hope we want to be the Elijah of our time, because what's needed in this world today is people just like you and just like me to stand up and proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," and become the Elijahs of our time. So as I preach tonight, I want to ask you to pray for me. I want you to pray that God's grace to work in such a way that the message will be clear to you and make it one that will touch you deeply. And my prayer for you is that God will work in your hearts to create a burning desire to know more about this great God who loves us unconditionally, that we would be equipped to share with those in need the way home to heaven. Amen. Take your Bibles now, if you've got them open, to 2 Kings chapter 2, and let's look here together at verses 1 through 14 in 2 Kings chapter 2. And please rise if you're able as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. The Word of our Lord says unto us, 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were there at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood two stood by the Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took also up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Father, we thank you for your word unto us tonight. Lord, may it speak to us. Father, create that burning desire that we pray for in each one of us. And help us to be the example in our time of what it means to be a mountain of holiness for Almighty God. In Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Very first thing we notice from this text tonight is God had given Elijah a no-death contract. Missing death puts Elijah in very rare category of deathless departures. In fact, in all of history, there have only been recorded in all of the time of history two deathless departures from this earth. Only two people have gone from this earth without passing through Death Valley. And instead, they were translated from this earth in the blink of an eye. And the first person to do this is found right there in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. His name was Enoch. And the Bible says this, He was and he was not because God took him. The second is our hero of faith here, Elijah. And are you aware that Bible prophecy records that while to date there has been only two, they will not be the last? Because the Bible says that while none of us knows the day or the hour, we do know that when Christ comes, those who are alive and saved will be translated as well. One sweet day, friends, we just might fly away. Hallelujah. Amen. I've said this to you many times before, and it's something that I pray for. I'm not looking for no undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. Yeah, I want to be translated from this earth. And so the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Oh, what a glorious moment that'll be. Amen. And that's what the Bible teaches. I need to ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because if you do believe this, then you need to be following in Elijah's footsteps. I've said all along that Elijah is God's example to you and I for how you and I as a child of God are to be living in this world today. Watch this. The remarkable thing about Elijah is that he knew he was going to be taken up into heaven without dying. And because of this, he is God's example to us of how we should be living in anticipation of our Lord's return. Our text reveals the truth of this because God had let Elisha and the sons of the prophets in on this as well. So friends, I can't preach anymore on Elijah because we've come to his last day on earth. Look with me again at verse 1 here in our text. And the Bible says, And it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And so in some kind of sweeping moment, God is going to take our hero from us. He's waiting for the whirlwind. And I want us to know God told him as well where it would happen. And this is instructive for us tonight. Let's try to walk along together with Elijah and Elisha and imagine this day as it unfolds. Follow along with me in verses 2 through 6 again. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. God tells him he's going to be taken by the Jordan River. And knowing this begs us to ask a question of our text. If he's going to be taken at the Jordan River, why then is Elijah wandering around the countryside instead of going right down to the Jordan? And there's two plausible answers that I can offer to you on this. The first, biblical history records three schools of the prophets, and the early seminaries, if you will, that's what the schools of the prophets were. And they'd been established by Samuel at Gilgal, at Bethel, and at Jericho. And at Bethel and Jericho, the sons of the prophets asked Elisha if he knew Elijah was going to be taken. And each time he replied in the affirmative and told them to be quiet. Which leads me to my second plausible reason. Elisha knew that Elijah was lost in a unique time of reflection and needed peace and quiet. I ask you a question. If God were to come to you and say to you, brother and sister, you're going home tonight, and it's morning, how would you spend the rest of your day? Would you be calling all of the people that you loved? Would you be seeking to encourage others? Would you want to see all the people at least one more time? See, I believe Elijah went to the seminaries to offer the sons of the prophets final words of encouragement. Perhaps by the tone of his words, they recognized the torch was about to be passed. And they came to understand that they would be part of the men and women through history who have been given the commission to go and to declare, thus saith the Lord. One thing I know for certain, I'll bet you each one of us would be telling our children and our grandchildren, God's going to take me home. You be certain that you go home too. Be certain you're following along. We'd offer words of encouragement, wouldn't we? We would be kind of passing the torch, just like Elijah is here. And so, allow me to pause for a moment and ask you, how many times have you heard it said when a person dies that his whole life passed before their eyes? You've heard that, right? Well, I've got a question. How do people know that? I mean, wouldn't you have to die to know that? And when you die, you're no longer around to tell anyone what happened. You're gone. And yet the truth is, when you listen to those people who've had a near-death experience, they'll tell you that their whole life passed before their eyes. And I believe that God is allowing Elijah to wander around a bit, reflecting back upon his life. That's another thing that you and I would do. If we knew we were going home tonight and it was morning, we'd spend the whole day reflecting back upon our life, wouldn't we? I think one thing about us in our world today, we'd be on our knees praying and asking God to forgive us for all the things he's already forgiven us for. Hey, God's forgotten them. You don't need to bring them up again. You need to forget them too. But I've been saying all along in this series that specific places in Scripture, they hold significant meaning. And the places Elijah went to are no exception. First place he's at is Gilgal. Do you realize that Gilgal in Scriptures was the place of beginning? You see, studying Scripture reveals this was the place where the children of Israel first landed after they crossed the Jordan River into Canaan. You can read all about that in Joshua 4:19. But here they're still safe and they're still secure before beginning their invasion into enemy territory. It was here where God's chosen nation stood on the verge of battle, listening to Joshua give them instruction before the battle began. Gilgal is the place of beginning. And it's also the place of Elijah's final journey, the beginning of it. Next up came Bethel. Bethel means the place of prayer, according to Genesis 12:8. And here Abraham, the great patriarch himself, had met with God in prayer during his times of search and struggle, of dedication and preparation. The patriarch would return frequently to Bethel to pray and commune with God. And as he walked through Bethel, perhaps Elijah's mind returned to that brook Kereth. Remember Kereth? Kereth was God's boot camp for Elijah. It was at Kereth Elijah had learned to trust God against all the odds. Remember, at that time he was a wanted man. He had no home, no shelter, and very little food. And it was at the brook Kereth that God fed him with the ravens came. You just imagine being Elijah at the brook Kereth. Every morning and every evening, the birds show up with a sandwich for you. You're not going to go hungry. The birds are bringing it in. And it was there that Elijah knew that he could depend upon God. It was there that Elijah discovered something Paul wrote about, something I share with you all the time. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, we don't have to worry about our needs. If it looks like we don't have nothing, just look outside. I'm sure some ravens will show up with something for you. As Abraham said, there's always a ram in the thicket, amen? And as Brother Marty tells us, it's going to be all right. We've got nothing to worry about with God. And then I think he remembered Zarephath, where he stayed with the widow and her son. It was here where his faith matured so much so that he could take the widow's dead son and breathe new life into him. Bethel reminded Elijah of his great victories in prayer and the strength of his almighty God. But then he comes to Jericho. Jericho is the place of battle. It was here Israel drove a formidable wedge into the opposition in Canaan. And I believe perhaps in Elijah's mind's eye, he could see the walls falling as the children of Israel gave that mighty shout of victory. I tell you, I think that's one of the darndest battles I've ever read about. You don't need to fight, just march. And then when I tell you, y'all shout. And when you shout, go on in, because the walls are coming down. It kind of reminds me of the end of life battle when Christ comes again. Do you realize if you know Christ tonight and you go home, that one day at the end He's coming, and He's coming to fight that final war at Armageddon, and you know what? We're coming with Him, but we'll never fire a shot, because the Bible says Christ puts everyone down by the word of His mouth. But Jordan. And I think, too, that he thought about Mount Carmel. And it was at Mount Carmel where Elijah challenged the false prophets of Baal. And he challenged the Israelites to get off the fence and make up your mind about who God is. And remember, the false prophets cried out. They did everything. They cut themselves. I mean, they just... And Elijah just stood back. And Baal never came. But then Elijah called on the Lord God. And had, remember how he had that sacrifice wetted down 3 times, so much so that the water was overflowing in the trenches. And God sent fire from heaven. And all of the Israelites said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And now he's on to Jordan. Jordan, a place of death. And it's here that Elijah remembered his death of the shelf life. It was here in the moments before his departure, I'm certain, that he recalled the days when he died to his own wishes, when he died to his own plans, and he surrendered all that he was to the Lord. And now the years have passed, and his departure is at hand. And as we look back with him through the pages of Scripture, we've discovered a hero of faith who has learned to walk, who has learned to submit, who has learned to obey, who has learned to wait upon the Lord. The very same things that Elijah learned are the very same things that God wants you and I to learn. We need to learn how to walk the Christian walk. We need to learn how to submit. We need to learn how to obey. We need to learn how to wait upon the Lord. Amen? Self-denial, friend, doesn't come naturally, does it? So it do us well to hear again our Savior's words from Mark 8 and 35. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Elijah, by example, shows us that if we are to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ promised, then we must remain as soft as clay in the Master's hands. And so, family and friends, he has visited the place of beginning, the place of prayer, the place of battle, and now here he is at the place of death. Why do I bring all of these to our attention tonight? Well, because every single one of us should have these places in our lives. All of us should have that place of beginning. That moment in time when we met the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the very first time, we repented of our sins and we asked the Lord to come into our heart and to be our Savior. I don't know about you. I didn't come to Christ the very first time the gospel was presented to me. How many of you came the very first time? So Elijah had that point in time, that moment when he met the Lord Christ. You see, each of us should have our own Gilgal, the place where we were born again into God's family. And each of us should also have the place of prayer, Bethel. And let me say to you, prayer is not asking God to bless you in what you want to do, or bless you as you are, or even to give you what you want. I believe prayer, if it's to be truly godly prayer, is that place where we learn to sacrifice and to surrender the things we hold near and dear. It's that place where we surrender the self-life to God. It's a place where we learn to submit. Jesus is a great example. when it comes to submission. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's the place where we go to on a daily basis, knowing that the more time we spend with God, the more His grace will be displayed in our own lives. It's the place where we prepare for the battles that we face. It's that place where we go that we might have reassurance and assurance. And I want you to know that when you read the Scriptures, every great victory was the result of people spending time in prayer before the battle was ever fought. I wonder how many churches would profit if we spent more time in prayer, and how many battles we might avoid inside the walls of the church, and how much more effective we would be outside the walls of the church if we prayed before the battle ever came. You see, friends, sooner or later, we're going to face our Jericho, aren't we? That's that place of battle. All of us have or will have to deal with serious battles in our lives simply because, as the Bible says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, Job 5 and 7. You don't have to look for trouble, do you? Trouble will find you, and especially if you're a child of God. There are the battles of rebellion. There are the battles of addiction, battles with our thought life, battles with doubt, battles with fear, battles with our flesh. Listen to me, one does not have to live long to know that life is not easy. Beyond that, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. And the one thing I can promise you is that all men will live in Jericho all throughout their lives simply because God has said man is born unto trouble. And one day, you and I will also come to our Jordan, the place of death, the place where we learn the necessity of self-denial. See, Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." We could camp out there for a long time, couldn't we? But that's a sermon for another day. To be fair, I'm sure you'd all agree that this is a difficult rite of passage, learning to deny ourselves. And yet, when we finally learn to submit, to obey, and to wait upon the Lord, we are rewarded with that peace that just pervades every area of our life. That we can say, as David did, "What do I have to fear when I'm leaning on the everlasting arms?" That's the application I pray we can all make tonight for our own lives, but there's one last thing we need to see, because it speaks to the heartbeat of becoming a church of strong families, and also of being a more loving and compassionate people here at Green Valley. And we discover that in Elisha, not Elijah. Because all throughout this text, Elijah, it appears, has been trying to separate himself from Elisha. Three times he says, "Tarry ye here." But I don't think Elijah was trying to rid himself of Elisha as much as God was using the situation to test Elisha. There is an expression from football, if you've ever played sports or watched sports, it can help explain what is going on here. You see, when a receiver goes out for a pass and the defensive back stays so close to him that the receiver cannot be thrown to, or if he does make the catch, the football analysts love to say that defensive back was glued to him. That's what we find here. Elisha was glued to Elijah. Look with me again at verse 6. "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on." And I believe that God is saying to us, as God's family here at Green Valley, that we need to be an Elisha for one another. be a source of strength for one another, because it'll help you stay a strong family. And just like family relationships, some will be more intimate than others, but I believe that God is saying to us through Elisha, develop intimate relationships and friendships within your church family. As Solomon wrote in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron as the countenance of a friend. And the iron of our faith must constantly be sharpened. Amen. And I want us to note also that Elisha was there for Elijah. He never left him. Let that sink in for a moment. He did not leave him. Contrast that with our world today, where it seems like somebody's always leaving. Through thick and thin, he stayed glued to him. Whether it's a church family or your own family, we need to stay glued to one another. Amen? After all, God gave us a family, and family is important. We need to be an Elisha for one another. We need to be there to hear and to listen, to help, to encourage, to inspire, to soften the blows of life, to give encouragement, to give objectivity. And that just speaks of what it means to be a loving and compassionate church, a loving and compassionate person. You got to be there. And then suddenly, Elijah's no-death contract took effect. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's gone. You know, I got to admit to you, when I read that again and thought about that, it made me a bit emotional. It's all right, I'm Italian, I can cry a little bit. It made me a bit emotional, because it brought back memories of the godly men and women in my own life who've touched my life. But they're home with Jesus now. And I had to wonder, just because I'm human, I wondered if Elisha felt the sting of shock and the feeling that comes for just a short moment. I'm all alone. I wondered if he thought for a moment, as many do, I can't live without Elijah. It wouldn't surprise me if he had. See, he is flesh and blood, just like you and I. And then second, oftentimes we as humans, we're limited in our thinking, aren't we? Whenever a great saint of God dies, God has already prepared for his work to be carried on by somebody else. My grandfather, Daddy Hap, he left in 1987. He was a great man of God. I've told you stories about him. And just a few years later, my Uncle Carl went home. He was a preacher. He went home to be with the Lord. Then Uncle Jim went home, and Uncle Jim, he'd fill the pulpit a lot of churches. Men of God. Great men of God who taught their children and their children's children valuable lessons so that the work of the Lord would carry on. And I'll bet you have those kind of memories of your own families. For the people in your family who are very special to you. But they're home with Jesus. The more I thought about that, you know, little did I realize how much their impact on my life came. It's taken place in my ministry through all of these years. It's just unbelievable. And I wonder if you stop and really consider your loved ones who've passed on, if you could see that God is doing the same thing in your life that he's done in mine. That they gave you a word or a life lesson They were Christ in the moment for you. And if you look back, you'd find that, you know what? You're just a little bit like them, aren't you? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I wondered if Elisha shed a few tears, because that's usually what happens when one of our loved ones goes on. But then he reached down and he picked up the mantle. And he got going. Kept right on stepping with the Lord. One thing's for certain, Elisha had the memories of what Elijah had taught him. And you have the memories of your loved ones as well. Those memories that hopefully through times have spurred you on, like Elijah for Elisha, to greater heights of devotion to God. If you keep on keeping on with the Lord, one day, family and friends, you will worship with your loved ones once again, face to face. See, the Bible tells us, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." It's my prayer that these messages from the life of Elijah will inspire us. It's my hope that they'll encourage us to be Christ in the moments he gives to us. And allow me to close with this, because I believe it helps clear away the trash and the debris of the limited temporal mindset that we oftentimes find ourselves comes upon us oftentimes, doesn't it? Hopefully it will seal once and for all the timeless relevance of the eternal. It comes from an old hymn. "The sands of time are sinking. The dawn of heaven breaks. The summer morn I've sighed for. The fair sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight. Day spring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's hand. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel." On Elijah's last day, he was translated right in to Emmanuel's land. And let us pray that on our last day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the song says, one sweet day, we're going to fly away. Somebody say amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Oh, Lord, what a joy it has been to camp out with Elijah over the course of these last many weeks, 12 weeks. Lord, it's been a wonderful, enriching time. And I just, as the pastor, I just want to say thank you. Thank for you for how you have spoken to my own heart. And Lord, again, I pray that the words that have been spoken throughout this series would encourage anyone who has heard them. Come to salvation in Christ. That's where our hope lies. But I pray, Father, that it would encourage each one of us as members, one of another, to remember that we need to be there for one another, Lord, you give us moments every day. Father, help us to be walking so close to you as Elijah was that we will be Christ in the moments that you give us. And Lord, as we close this series and as we get ready to sing the final song, Lord, if you've spoken to folks' hearts tonight, we just pray that they'll respond, that they'll come. Maybe there's an area of life they need to surrender. Maybe they just need to come and pray for the strength to be the Elijah of their time. But Lord, whatever their need is tonight, I pray that you'll move, and I pray that people will respond, and Father, that you will get all of the glory because you deserve it. But Lord, whatever happens, just keep our eyes on our Master's face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Marty, if you'll come and lead us. If God has spoken to your heart tonight, this front pew is open that you may sit and pray, or if you want to pray with me, you come. But let's stand and let's sing. Let's let God lead us tonight.
In prayer.